podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. Sorry for the slight delay. We had some children that wanted to watch last night's Gladiators, actually, if we're being honest. That's actually what happened. I'd love to come up with some great story, but we were out last night. We had to tape. Gosh,
How old are you?
And we didn't have to tape, show my age. We had to Sky Plus Gladiators from yesterday, and the kids wanted to catch up, and it's semi-final time on UK Gladiators right now. It's properly getting good.
Do you have the speed, the strength?
Properly getting good, isn't it? I love that it's come back. I think it's absolutely brilliant. So thanks for bearing with us, guys, while we watched Gladiators. I really appreciate it.
And then I had to put them to bed while you were setting up
the
stream.
And then we had to put it to bed, all the rest.
Fun. Fun tonight.
Scott Schrager's in. He's saying, are you late because Sam's setting up AV equipment? It's not the case. But we do have some new AV equipment. We've got a new camera. So I've managed to find a way to get my phone to act as a webcam. So guys, let us know if that's coming through okay, if it's coming through better than usual, worse than usual. I don't know, we're trying it out, see how we go. This is our Game Week 30 live stream, but it's not just gonna be a Game Week 30 live stream. We are absolutely not in any way gonna talk about Game Week 29. That is long gone, we did that last week. It is well and truly in the long grass, Game Week 29. I don't even wanna talk about it anymore. Game Week 30 though, is going to be quite important because you've got the wildcard active. You activated the wildcard even before yesterday's announcements about fixtures, and we'll talk about that in just a second.
It's been active for over a week now.
Been active for a while, so we're going to have an update on your wildcard, but we're also going to talk about what the rest of the landscape looks like for FPL between now and the end of the season. It's going to be a busy one. We can kind of know where we're at now with fixtures, particularly with double game week 34. Yeah. And I think we've got a little bit more of an idea around game week 37.
And
maybe what happens after game week 34. So we are going to talk through that. You guys in the chat, thank you for saying it's a bit laggy, it's a bit choppy. Let's see if that settles down. I hope that it does. The sound is good, Michelangelo saying thank you. The picture's a bit laggy and a bit freezy. Let's see if that settles down. If it doesn't, guys, we might leave, come back, we'll go back to the other camera, we'll have a look. But if the sound's coming through okay, then I'm hoping that's going to settle down. But let us know. If it keeps being laggy, if it keeps being crap, we'll go back to the other setup and we'll forget what we're doing today. But Sam, game week 30 is nearly here. First question I've got for you is, your wildcard has been active for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what we know now about fixtures in game week 34 and everything else, any regret on playing the wildcard early or still happy?
No.
That you've got the wildcard active and in play?
Yeah, if anything, it kind of, I think it made me happier that I'd played it.
Right, okay.
I was already pleased with the decision to do it. And it was one of those, I think, last Saturday night when I hit that button where I was kind of like, am I doing this for the right reasons? Am I doing this just because I'm really annoyed at Spurs and therefore at my FPL team and the free hit and everything else that's going on?
Yeah.
Or am I doing this because it's the right moment? And at the time, I thought it was both things. I thought I was doing it as a reaction.
Rage wildcard, yeah.
But also because it was the right moment.
Yeah.
And actually, as time's gone on this week, I've kind of gone, yeah, it feels like it's the right time. I feel like I'm doing the right thing. And then the announcement yesterday morning, I sat down and went through a draft, which I made and sent to the Premier League. And I think that went out today. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, yeah, actually, all the decisions that I was making and all of the plans that I'd thought about doing if I'd have wildcarded in 34, nothing is really different, to be honest. I think the only thing that would have happened, actually, had I not pressed the button, is that I would have ended up pushing it a week back to 35 or bringing it forward a week early to 33. But the reality is, I still think that the only other time, if you're really good for 35, paying 31, I think it's either 30, 31 or it's 35 now. There doesn't, for me, seem to be any reason to play in 33 or 34.
Yeah, and the 30, 31 decision, well, let's come to it in a minute, but whether you play it this week or next, doesn't feel like a massive decision to me. I think your wild card for 30 would look pretty similar to your 31.
It would. The only reason not to do it this week is if your team already looks nice. Like if you're already got a really lovely team for game week 30 and you look at it and you think, actually, that's got one more week.
Fine. Maybe. Yeah, maybe
hold it.
Well, let's talk about that first of all. First of all, guys, we haven't really got any games to react to, have we? Obviously today, as we usually would have. So let's make this an interactive stream. Get your questions in the chat. When I put Sam's 2.0 wildcard on the screen, let us know what you think of the picks. If you are wildcarding, I want to hear about your wildcard picks. Maybe don't just list your whole team in the chat because it's kind of difficult to see everything that's going on. But, you know, what are your one or two kind of like either key wildcard picks? Who are your differentials? Let's go with that. You guys are saying that it seems to have calmed down a little bit now in the stream. So thank you, guys. I think the lagginess has kind of dropped a little bit. So I think we're okay. I think we're okay for now anyway. Let's discuss, courtesy of the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker, game weeks 30 to 34 then, Sam, in just a second, because I've got to say hello to everybody. But 30 to 34... we are now clear on what 34 looks like. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that are doubling. Palace, Arsenal, Sheffield United, Liverpool, Everton, Bournemouth and Wolves. I'm going to come to you in just a second for which of those seven, you know, is there two or three in there that you would go and target? I think Liverpool, probably one of them, for example. So we'll come to them in just a second. But before we do, let's say hello to a few people now that the chat and the video has kind of stopped lagging and we're all okay. Wilco is in. How are we doing, mate? Nice to see you. Nigel the Crab is in and moderating as usual, mate. Nice to see you too. George Day is here. Daniel Banks. Who else have we got? Michelangelo. How are we doing, mate? The Chosen One is here. Joseph Maloney is in. Olivia Ward. Hey, Olivia. Nice to see you. Sian is here, Duncan Crawford, a whole host of our patrons, as usual, Sam, are in. Tristan Bamford is here, how are you doing, mate? Evan Chowdhury is here. We've had a super chat already from Polkit. Thank you, Polkit, for the super chat. Hi, family, says, hi, Polkit. Thanks for the amazing content, you're welcome, mate. Aww. Planning to bench boost in game week 34 instead of game week 37. Teams may have more to play for. Better single game week games as well. Mm-hmm. Any comments on that? So we will discuss bench boost a little bit as we go along. Why don't we dive into these fixtures? And as we go through that, we will attempt, Polkit, to answer your question about bench boost. Because I certainly am going to be holding mine, I think, for a little while yet. But we'll talk about that later on. Game weeks 30 to 34 then, Sam. We know what 34 looks like. Which of those seven teams are you going to be targeting between now playing your wildcard on 30 and building your team for game week 34? Which of those teams kind of stand out?
Well, I think the first thing to say is it's not just those seven teams doubling, is it? There's also the blank for Spurs, which
Right at the bottom here. You're absolutely right. We should mention that. Yeah.
Because that does, and I think that sort of ties in with Polkit's question as well, because in reality, that Spurs blank, I think it did throw me a little bit. When the announcement first came out and I looked at it and I was like,
ooh. We were expecting the Spurs-Chelsea game to be in there, weren't we, I think?
I think I was expecting either Spurs or Chelsea or Spurs and Man City to move into the middle of the week. Because the Spurs-Man City game should have been there. So in my head, I was like, well, maybe they just put the Man City-Spurs game into the middle of the week and then Spurs play there and then they put the Chelsea-Spurs game in game week 37. That was in my head where I was. So when I saw the fixtures, I was like, okay, that does sort of change the way I look at things, because I sat on this stream last weekend and was talking about how, you know, I'll sell Sun after game week 30. And now we know that Spurs are going to be one of only two teams that are going to play six games in the final four game weeks of the season.
Yeah.
That does change the way I feel about having Spurs assets in my team. And given the nice fixtures that they have in the build-up, then they get tougher. And they get tougher around the time of the doubles, let's be honest. And we'll look at 30. I presume you've got a slide that's got 35 to 38 on it later.
I have, yeah.
So we'll look at that later. But obviously the Spurs doubles come in that slightly more difficult period of the season for them when they've got to play the likes of Liverpool and Arsenal and of course, Manchester City and the Chelsea game's got to go in there as well. But it does change the way I'm thinking. And my original thought when I saw the doubling sides was a bit like Polkit, or maybe I'll bring my bench boost forward.
Yeah.
Because the doubles are nicer, particularly for Liverpool and Arsenal. And the single game week fixtures for the other teams that I'm invested in are also nice. So I was kind of like, well, makes a lot of sense. However, that would also involve me selling out my Spurs assets ahead of that to make sure I had a full working bench, and then trying to get them back in again fairly quickly for 35 or 36, depending upon where that Spurs-Chelsea game goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't feel like the right thing to do, to be using transfers to take out players that I only want to bring back in again a bit later on. So for me, that's why the bench boost strategy in game week 34 just doesn't work with the way that my team is going to be set up. I want to make sure I'm in the best possible position. And carrying double Chelsea and double Spurs into their double, whenever that goes, either 35 or 36, and then again for the second double that those two teams will have in game week 37, feels like a much better and much nicer strategy for me. So in answer to your original question, having covered out the Spurs part, Liverpool and Arsenal, I think, are the two key teams to target.
So Arsenal got Wolves away, Chelsea at home.
Yeah.
And Liverpool have got Fulham away, Everton away.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look like the ones
three
to
Arsenal,
target, don't
three
they?
Three Liverpool.
I mean, Palace with West Ham and Newcastle both at home. I don't mind that either. We're going to be going for Elise and SA and those guys, aren't
we,
probably?
Earlier on, you asked me for a wild card draft, which I've sent and we'll show you in a little while. But I also thought, well, I can't just send you this wild card draft because my wild card draft has also got plans in play for game week 34 now. So I've sent another one as well, which I think you've put in
We
can talk about, which is my wild card team. And then with three changes, what that's going to look like for 34, allowing me to target in on the nice fixtures that some of the teams have got between
which we will
and 34.
Share. Although I have to say, I'm not a mega fan of setting a wild card up and then booking transfers in between 30 and 34.
But that is exactly what you have to do in this final part of the season.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
You have to plan your transfers.
Yeah, I suppose
if you weren't wildcarding, like you know, you're talking about not wildcarding, you're going to have a transfer strategy that says, this is what I'm going to do between now and then. I have to think about that in the same way, regardless, I think, of where your wildcard goes. Even if you wildcarded in 35, you still need to think about, well, what's my 36, 37, 38 transfer strategy going to be? Who are the players I'm looking at? Now, of course, things can change. Players can get injured. Players can come into form. Teams can go in and out of form. Teams can go on the beach. Teams can suddenly have things to play for. But I think what you need to do, and I think as an FPL manager, it's what we do all the time, is we go, this is my plan A strategy. This is, if everything goes to plan, if everyone stays fit, if everyone's in form, this is where I'm going with my team. And of course, you might go, oh, actually, this player's now got injured, so I'm going to do that instead. But I think that's exactly where you need to be. These final nine game weeks of the season, they are so critical in terms of getting the right cogs in the right place to make the end of the season go well.
Yeah, Chelsea and Spurs are the two that are worthy of conversation, and the one which I guess we as content creators and the rest of us will all be discussing.
Yes.
Because they are the problem childs, if you like.
Yeah, no double or a blank in 34.
So either a blank or Arsenal away in 34.
Yeah.
And there, so, okay, all right, we'll all pile off. But then there's a double game week in 35 or 36.
Yeah.
And I think another one for Chelsea 30, in 37.
And Spurs.
And another one for Spurs 37. So you're kind of all piling off on 34 and then piling back on 35. And the kicker is that you want them in the short term here as well. Look at even this week, game week 30, Burnley at home and Luton at home.
If you've got your free hit, it becomes very, very easy because you just free hit in 34 and you're done. And you can have your Spurs and your Chelsea assets. And actually, if I was wildcarding now and had a free hit, I'd treble up on Spurs and Chelsea.
Would you?
Yeah, because I think that puts you in a position where you target those nice fixtures that you've just talked about. You get them out for the game against Arsenal and the game where Spurs blank, and you can target in on those double game week players from the teams like Palace, like maybe Wolves, who you don't want to have longer term, but you can bring in for that week and have them on a free hit. And then, of course, they disappear and in back comes your triple Spurs and your triple Chelsea for the two double game weeks that they have coming, potentially in back-to-back weeks. I don't think that there'll be... Reading that article that went out on the Premier League website on Saturday when the fixtures got announced, they were hinting at a double game week for Spurs and Chelsea in 35 or 36. I know there were some people out there talking about a treble game week in 37. I don't see it. It's too close to the end of the season. It's too many fixtures to squeeze into that final week. Particularly, Spurs are going to jet off to Australia on the day after the final game week of the season, which is bonkers to me. But anyway, it's an aside. I think they will put it in 36 or 35. And therefore, being able to target in on Spurs and Chelsea straight after game week 34 is really important. I know the fixtures are difficult. I get that, particularly for Spurs, that if it goes into 35 or 36, it's either going to be Arsenal and Chelsea for Spurs, or it's going to be Liverpool and Chelsea for Spurs. So really, it's horrible, whatever happens. But those are games where Spurs do tend to score well. So I think you will want some attacking assets from that team. And of course, we know that Spurs don't defend that well. So you're going to want your Chelsea assets in there. You're going to want to hold your Liverpool and your Arsenal assets for those fixtures anyway after their doubles. So I think Spurs and Chelsea are going to be quite key in terms of your strategy and which way you're going to go with it now that we know where the fixtures are landing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got... this is 30 to 34. We've got your second sort of 2.0 wildcard draft. We'll share that now. Then I'll show, courtesy of Ben Krellin, who is a must-follow on Twitter. I'm sure all of you are following him already.
Yeah.
I've got a table that he's recently put on Twitter that shows game weeks 35 to 38 in terms of the projection of where the double game weeks are going to land,
yeah.
Where the Spurs-Chelsea game is going to land, all that sort of stuff. And then we'll look at your plan to go from 30 to 34. And we might do that actually after your wildcard, but let's have a look at any changes that you've made to your wildcard. So this is a kind of 2.0 draft. It doesn't look massively different to what you did this time last
week.
It's
reasonably different.
So is it kind of settling down then?
It's reasonably different, but fairly... But I am starting to settle down. So there are some kind of key areas to talk about. So one of the big things I sat here and talked about last week was the second goalie slot. The second goalie slot, for me, it was like, right, I need a cheap second goalkeeper for a double game week in 37. And I looked at those double game week potential fixtures. Obviously, Chelsea games likely to go in there. Manchester United against Brighton, Newcastle and Manchester United, and Spurs and Manchester City. Well, there's only really two cheap goalkeepers in there. There's Petrovic at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Is he still going to be the first choice by then? Who knows? Because, of course, Sanchez is back and he did play in the FA Cup. So there's that element of risk there. And he's not that cheap. He's 4.5. So he's not...
I think he's done enough to sort of keep the jersey, isn't he, Petrovic, I would say?
I think so. I mean, Sanchez was on a bench for a couple of Premier League matches after coming back. He did play the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Which I guess we'll just have to see. But there's enough doubt there for me that I would be like, I want to stay away. And then the other one is Dubravka. But of course, Pope is due back at the end of April. So again, that puts you in a difficult position because originally he was due back, I think, on the 6th of April. Now it's been pushed back to the 30th. Either way, that implies that he should be available for selection in game week 37. So again, there's enough doubt around Petrovic that puts me off there.
And it's that sort of doubt that plays on your mind with the bench boost chip, doesn't it?
Because 100%.
I've often said this, and we've said this in previous seasons, with the bench boost chip, it's a blessing and a curse, that chip, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a blessing because you obviously get any points on the bench, etc. that week. But it's kind of a curse because in and around the week that you play it, particularly in the weeks leading up to it, your thinking changes, isn't it? Because you're thinking more about what's my 15 going to be?
Yeah.
Have I got a playing subkeeper?
Yeah.
There's a whole load of thoughts that you wouldn't generally have in FPL. Because a lot of the FPL is, you know, who's the best player and who am I going to get in my 11?
Yeah.
All of a sudden with the bench boost, you're like, oh, well, do I need like a Kelleher or do I need a Bradley to kind of get my 15 out?
Yeah.
And it sort of takes your attention away from who is actually the best player.
Yeah.
So I'm not a massive fan of bench boost because it does sort of sway me a little bit sometimes.
Well, I looked at all of these things. So Onana's probably the best option, to be honest, of the goalkeepers because he's the cheapest. Vicario's obviously more expensive. Edison's more expensive. Brighton, there's too much rotation with their two goalkeepers. You never know which one's going to get the start in which game. And of course, in a bench boost week, that's not what you want. Probably likely that they get one each, to be honest, in those two matches. So really, the only one there is Onana. He's a little bit more expensive than Areola. And then I thought, actually, realistically here, if I wait it out, we might get more of an update on Pope. Maybe I make a keeper transfer just before I play that bench boost. But the other point to make here is that Areola does play Burnley. So it's a single game week against Burnley. Maybe actually the best bet is to just have a single game week goalkeeper that week on the bench boost. It's not the end of the world. Other things that have changed then, obviously there's some similarities. So Udogie's still there, Gusto's still there, Zabani's still there, got the double. Saliba's still there. Now Saliba, I have had thoughts this week of changing him and swapping out some of the budget that I've got in him for a Ben White or a Gabriel or doing something along those lines. I'm not sure how I feel about that because I am quite wed to Saliba. I do like having him in my team.
Had him most of the season,
pretty much all the season. So the only real change on that back line then is that I've swapped Lacazette. So I think last time I was on a stream with with you, I had Doughty in that spot still.
Yeah.
Then I switched to Lascelles, which I talked about on the official FPL pod last week.
Who I think is a reasonable pick now, right?
And is a reasonable pick, absolutely. Yeah. The only
with Sven Botman injured, in case you missed that.
With Sven Botman injured. The only reason for changing this now is that obviously Bradley has the double coming up in 34, and it's a nice double, and Liverpool's fixtures ahead of that are also nice. I will need to wait and just make sure where we are with Trent if I'm going to go for the Bradley pick. That's quite important. With the plan that actually Bradley, after game week 34, I don't want him anyway. I'll swap him for Lascelles because then I can target in on Newcastle's double in 37. Okay. So there is a plan for him there. That
Webby's in the
changes.
Chat. He's saying Darwin is calling his name again, lol. Hold, bit of a lack of Darwin in this team. What are we saying?
Let's talk about Darwin in a minute. Let me go through the middle. So the middle is actually, I think, exactly the same as it was on the stream last week. I haven't made any changes there. I still really like the Anthony Gordon pick, even though he doesn't double in 34. I'll show you the team that I'm going to have by 34. There is a little plan for a bit of a Gordon hokey-cokey around the double and then having him back in so that we target in his double. So I get his nice fixtures now, plus I get the double after 34. The front line, and again, maybe in a minute we'll show what I'm planning between now and game week 34. I do still like Ollie Watkins for game week 30. So there's two things that could happen here, and I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. Either I'm going to hold Ollie Watkins for 30, and then ahead of game week 31, when Liverpool play Sheffield United, I'm going to swap him out for Darwin. The other option here is that I just do that transfer straight away, and I have Darwin for the Brighton game, because that, to be honest, is just as nice a fixture as the Ollie Watkins one against Wolves in reality. So I could make that move early. I just don't want to sell Watkins until I'm 100% sure, because I've got 0.4 invested in him. Mm. Buying him back is going to be tough if I regret it. And Darwin and I, we have a bit of a checkered history together.
The only thing I will say about Darwin is, and I can see a lot of people going for him, he's the exciting one, I think, because I think most, if you are wildcarding this week or next, one of the reasons you're doing it is to get Mo, right?
Yes.
And I've got a plan for Mo to bring him in this week. I don't like it very much, but I'll tell you about it in a bit. But Darwin is the exciting pick, I think, for Liverpool. Now, my concern is that Jota is back, I think, on the radar in the next week, 2 weeks. I think he's ready. He's getting ready for fitness. We've still got a lot of games to play because we're in European competition. We're obviously out of the FA Cup now, but we're still in the Europa League. And and this is not me putting anybody off the Darwin pick, because he is an exciting pick and we've got some really nice fixtures where he could definitely profit. I just wonder how much rotation there's going to be with Jota coming back. Now, he won't rush Jota back, no doubt about it. He's going to want Jota for the run-in, right? The sort of game week 33 onwards, he's going to want him for that. But with him back on the radar, with Cody Gakpo fit, with Salah coming back into the fold, I'm not saying Darwin's not going to get the starts, but it would put me off a little, particularly when you're selling a key asset like Watkins.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I don't love about this wildcard draft at the moment, and it's a reason why I'm pondering, and for the first time the last couple of days, well, actually yesterday, when the fixtures came out, I'd taken Evie to an art class and I was sat on my own just doing wildcard drafts and very much having a great time on doing that. And I was looking at the Raya pick thinking, if I got a different goalkeeper, if I got somebody different, then that frees up an Arsenal spot, which I could potentially have some fun with. So then for the game week 34 double, I could do, if I fancied it, Son to somebody in the Arsenal team. I have a Rice or whoever it is that I fancied, Odegaard, whoever. And then get the Spurs pick back in again by the time the double comes. Because we're going to know, I would have thought relatively soon, whether it's going to be 35 or 36 that Spurs double.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I don't like really at the moment. The two slots that I'm kind of debating right now, well, there's three that I'm debating right now. One, well, both the goalkeeper slots probably. Areola, though, I think I'm probably just going to settle on. He's so cheap, he's going to play. You don't have that. If Kelleher was guaranteed to play by game week 34, but I note that Alisson's due back around the time of game week 34.
I'm kind of staggered that you've got Areola still on your wildcard.
But what?
Like, he would be one of the first to go.
But the reality is,
he's been rubbish.
Yeah, but the reality is, I've got a goalkeeper like Raya. He's going to play. I'm going to play Raya every single week. The only week I need Areola is for a bench boost in 37 when he's got Burnley.
Well, you want him in 30, don't you? Because Raya's got Man City.
Well, yeah, but I can't.
And he's got Newcastle away.
But that's fine. I'm not that. The Goldie Slots, look, it is what it is, right? The Goldie
You're
Slots
on a wild
for me.
Card.
Yeah, but I don't. Okay, but going for a cheap goalkeeper, if you're going to spend that money on Raya, you're going for a cheap second. Kelleher doesn't give me security because Alisson's going to come back eventually. Same with Dubravka, no security there. Don't feel like I can go for Petrovic because I'm still uncertain about the Sanchez pick.
So all three of those are really good picks and you're going for none of them because of your bench boost thinking. It's not, the bench boost swaying you again.
No, it's not the bench boost necessarily because I can move back to Areola for the bench boost. It's the fact that I don't... Kelleher takes up a Liverpool slot, which might then be a problem by the time we hit the double game week. So I don't want to do that. Dubravka is an option. He's definitely an option because Pope's due back much later anyway. So he is definitely an option. Again, though, it's a little bit more budget. And the budget's really tight at the back. It is a really, really tight budget. So I am being mindful of that. I don't hate Areola as much as you clearly do.
Well, the thing is, so West Ham don't keep clean sheets. So he would be the first out for me. I don't know who I'd have, but I wouldn't have him. The other one is Zabani. I'm kind of surprised that you've got him as well. A Bournemouth defender, they like to concede as well. Bournemouth. I know that he got the gold in the other week and he was a bit of a hero for us, wasn't he? But on a wild card, you're keeping Zabani?
Yeah, that was got a double in 34. Going to keep him for the double. And then after the double, he can
be...
But
the double is Villa away, Wolves away. That's difficult, right?
Yeah, but that's fine. He can play in the double. And then after the double, I might look to move him on. But again, the reality is he's a bench option. He's going to sit on the bench. So I'm not going to... I think one of the things that you said earlier today when we were just chatting about bench boost and that is that often what you do as an FPL manager when you've got the bench boost chip still in play is you take money from your first 11 and you put it on the bench because you feel like you need a bench for the bench boost. Now, I get that, but I don't want to do that. I want to have the best, cheapest options on my bench. And yes, Zabani might not be the best, cheapest option by the time we get to game week 37. But as I've mentioned before, there's players like Lascelles that can come in instead of him by the time we hit that point. So I'm not bothered about putting the additional budget. He's going to be benched every single week, apart from in game week 34 when I'll play him for his double. Every other week, he's going to sit on the bench. So why spend the additional budget on somebody else that maybe doesn't double? The only potential option I might look at changing him out for is somebody like an Anderson at Crystal Palace.
Okay.
Because I prefer their potential, not their potential double, I prefer their double.
West Ham and Newcastle at home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer their double.
They got some very difficult fixtures before that.
But they've got some, yeah, but that, and again, I think you also have to look at 37 then and think about, well, if I've still got him in my team by 37, am I happy to still have them? And that's the thing I think for me that's quite important with this wild card. So it's still definitely, you said, is it settled? No. I think the goalkeeper slots are still up for contention for sure. The Bradley slot, I need to understand more on Trent's whereabouts before I make that decision. And the Watkins / Darwin position is key. Show the other team that I sent you, because by the time we get to game week 34, I do want to have more.
Yeah, so yeah, it won't have escaped anyone's notice that, you know, Udogi, Son, Gusto, Palmer, they're all in there. So having played the wild card now, you must have a plan to be either moving those guys on or benching them. As we said before, right, Chelsea and Tottenham, bottom of the ticker here at the moment. Nice in the short-term fixtures, particularly the next 2 or 3 weeks look really, really good. But from 34, you've either got Spurs who don't play at all or Chelsea who have got Arsenal away.
Yeah.
But then you want them back. If you've still got the free hit, I think that's a perfectly good week to have it, particularly for teams full of Chelsea and Spurs.
Yeah.
You haven't. So your plan is to do something like this. So this is the second team that you sent me, which is your wildcard team for game week 30 with a view to... So the ones with the boxes around them.
Apart from Bradley, because he was already had the box from this slide before.
So Bradley's going to be in right
Imagine
now
he's
on
there.
Your wildcard draft. But your plans between 30 and 34 to get to... So this would effectively be your double game week 34 team, having wildcarded now.
One more transfer left. So the plan is the hokey cokey with Eze and Gordon. So I want Gordon for the nice fixtures that he has up until 34. He's got three home fixtures in the next four. Like, he's so good at home. I want him for that. But I do think I want Eze for the double. So my thought process was, well, I'll have Gordon until we get to 34. I'll do Gordon to Eze for 34 and then Eze back to Gordon again for 35. I don't like things like that. I hate the hokey cokey. But the fixtures for Gordon are so much nicer in the coming weeks that I do want to target him, and I want him for the double that he's got in 37. Yeah. So
Gordon,
that
coming
is what
out
it
of,
is.
Gordon coming out of 34 into 35 has got Sheffield United,
yeah,
Burnley, and Brighton and Brentford. Yeah, with 37 probably, almost certainly being a double game week. So Gordon is going to be very, very popular for those that are wildcarding in game week 35, if that's your plan.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're almost certainly going to have Gordon in there.
Yeah, but I think I can take advantage of people not getting him because he's not got the double in 34 by getting him now and then playing the hokey-cokey with him around that double game week and bringing him back in straight away for 35. Up top, there's two changes. The Watkins to Darwin thing, and as we talked about, that might happen ahead of this deadline anyway. So that would mean I'm down to this is just two book transfers in the four transfers that I'll have available to me. The other thing I'm thinking about is doing Cunha for Muniz at that point, because that allows me to play the Wolves.
He
is at the moment. So we'll just have to... And again, this is why it's a thought process, is that it doesn't necessarily have to be him. It could be any doubling forward, but take that spot to a doubling forward. The biggest question I'll have between game week or ahead of game week 34 is the Udogi slot. Son, I'm just going to bench and I'm going to hold Son for the run-in now.
Yeah.
That's the plan now. He's no longer going to go. He's going to stay throughout. And that massively changed on the knowledge that Spurs have got those two doubles to come. So he'll move to the bench for 34. Udogi's different because, as I mentioned before, and if you show the fixtures for 35 to 38.
So here are the fixtures then for 35 to 38, courtesy of our friend Ben Krellin over on Twitter or X.
So
here's where he thinks the fixtures are going to land, right? Yeah. So game week 37... is looking reasonably complete. Anything that's in purple there, and apologies for the podcast, is anything that's in purple is a pretty much nailed on. It's not been, the Premier League haven't said it yet, but that is a nailed on double game week. Those fixtures are going to happen. Now in 35 and 36, you can see that Ben has got a certain degree of certainty around Spurs and Chelsea being in game week 36, he thinks, rather than 35. But at the moment, we're unsure as to where that's going to be. So Spurs and Chelsea will have a double game week. It will either be in 35 or 36. And then Chelsea and Spurs both will have an additional double game week in 37. So again, going back to my theory about Anthony Gordon going to be in a lot of 35 wild cards.
Yes.
So will Son, Porro, Gusto, Jackson.
Totally.
Even. You know, the Chelsea and Spurs are going to be very popular on game week 35 wild cards.
So, but when you look at those Spurs fixtures, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, there's a nice game in there against Burnley. There's Man City in that week.
Tricky running for Spurs, isn't it?
And then it's Sheffield United. So actually, those two game weeks in 35 and 36, I don't see clean sheets. So there is a potential that actually I sell Udogi for 34, 35, 36. And then even with the double... Because I just don't think that we keep a clean sheet against Arsenal, Liverpool or Chelsea, regardless of where that fixture goes. Now, yes, some of you will probably be going, oh, but he's got attacking threat. I know, I get it. But could I use that slot better in the double game week in 34? Maybe. And could I then bring him back in ahead of Burnley and Manchester City and Sheffield United? Because I wouldn't expect him to necessarily get anything against Manchester City. But Burnley and Sheffield United, I would expect there to be some potential there.
Your running is mad, actually, when you look at it, isn't it? The guys in the chat near are just saying it's a mad running. It is.
Yeah.
I didn't really even consider that because I'm just looking really... This is the mindset of someone that's considering wildcarding in 35.
Yeah.
Is that I'm just looking at 30 to 34.
And absolutely, that's the right thing.
Which is the right thing to do. But, you know, I'm looking at Spurs' running and thinking, that is a mad, mad running. You are going to have a say in the title race, but you've not got your work cut out to get fourth, haven't you?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I look at that and I think goals. There's goals for Spurs in those games. But is there clean sheets? Against Burnley and Sheffield United, yes, there should be. But against the other teams, I just don't see it. I don't see clean sheets against Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City. I really don't. And so at that point, then, you know, am I doing the right thing by having Udogie? Would I be better off to sell him ahead of 34, get in another doubling player, go for an Anderson at that point from Crystal Palace? Oh, I've just blinked my contact lens again.
Oh, has it moved?
Yeah. Go. Oh.
Is it coming out? Catch it.
When we were at the party yesterday, that happened to a guy, didn't it? No,
just
it's all
while
right.
you're sorting that out, no, I'll answer a super chat. So Wilco's in with a super chat. Thank you, mate. He says, Darwin and Gordon, both on 8 yellows, thoughts. So that is something to consider. I was trying to make the case earlier for maybe thinking twice or maybe just curbing your enthusiasm on Darwin, what with Jota coming back. Therein lies maybe another reason to do it, is that Darwin's on 8 yellows. And yeah, Gordon, be careful of that as well. And both of those players perfectly capable of picking up another couple of yellows.
But wouldn't it be really nice if Gordon's yellow meant that he was suspended in 34, because the in-out would then be perfect?
It would be perfect. Yeah, it would be perfect. So it's a difficult running for Spurs, but for sure, Spurs and Chelsea going to be on the radar for transfers out, but then potentially back in. It is a tricky little hokey-cokey to have to manage, isn't it? It really is.
But that's why you can't... And this is why when I sent you this and you were like, why are you sending me a million things? And I was like, because I can't just send you a wildcard team. Because actually, that wildcard team is so much more than those 15 names right now. It's how do those 15 names cover me for game week 30 to 33? Because there's some great fixture runs in there for teams. Then cover me out for the double, which is really important. And then beyond that, cover me for the craziness that is game week 35 through 38. And I think Liverpool and Arsenal are critical. Getting Liverpool and Arsenal strategy right, trebling up on them for their double game week, because they have got nice fixtures in the build up to that. That's important. And then deciding how you manage Chelsea and Spurs based upon which other chip strategy you have at play, be it your free hit or your bench boost. That's going to be the pivot points, I think.
Yeah. All right. Talk to me about Ollie Watkins then in particular, because there's a few people in the chat just saying, oh, I'm not sure about getting rid of Ollie Watkins.
I know. I feel the same.
Feels a bit wrong to get rid of Ollie Watkins. And in that same kind of context, just because we're at that end of the pitch, Dominic Solanke as well. Not really. We've spoken about him. He's certainly not in your game week 30 draft, nor is he in your thoughts for game week 34 by the looks of it, which, given that Bournemouth do have a double game week, it is tricky. It's Villa and Wolves away, although we've seen Villa be reasonably leaky at home in recent times. Three home games in their next four for Dom Solanke, Everton, Palace and Man United, with Luton away in 32. It maybe feels a bit hasty to be binning Dom Solanke, doesn't it? Or have you kind of made peace with it?
No, I've made peace with it because I think that's the thing, is when you are not wildcarding, it makes absolute sense to have Dom Solanke still in your team. It makes absolute sense. But when you're wildcarding and you're trying to make ways to have Haaland and Salah and Son, and you want to have some important premium-ish defenders, so you want to, you know, a Spurs defender in there for the next couple, you want an Arsenal defender or two in there.
Yeah, yeah.
There have to be some sacrifices. And I look at Dom Solanke and I look at the Munez pick and... You know, over the next couple of weeks, Fulham have got great fixtures. So, yes, they don't double in 34.
Which is why he's not in this graphic here. But if I flip back to...
There he is.
...your game week 30, there he is, Muniz.
Because I think he can cover Solanke for the next few weeks. Now, obviously, in the double game week, that's different because he doesn't have a double game week. That team, if you flip back again, that does then have...
This is your 34
...that has Cunha in it. There is money in the bank. There's like 0.9 in the bank at this point.
Okay.
So... I could go back to Solanke for 34 if I wanted to. But I don't like Solanke's form right now. I don't like the form that he's in. I think the double game week, he gets the goal and that sort of makes us all go, oh, well, you know, at least he got the goal. But that was the nicest double game week he could have had.
I think if he doesn't slip on that penalty, though,
maybe
we're not having this conversation.
Maybe I feel differently, but I just... The last few weeks, I play Solanke. The other thing to say is, with that wildcard team that I've created for 30, Dominic Solanke is sitting...
Keep flipping back.
He's sitting on the bench. Because who else is sitting on the bench? Because Gordon's got great fixtures. Cole Palmer is absolutely outstanding right now.
Oh, I see.
Now.
If you had Solanke rather than Manise, you'd be benching him anyway.
He's going to get benched every week. Because I'm going to play Palmer. I'm going to play Gordon because the fixtures are great for Gordon.
Yeah.
Then I've got Saka, Son, Salah. Well, then none of them are going on the bench. Haaland and Watkins aren't going on the bench. So in reality, is it worth spending the additional money on Solanke? Possibly not.
Yeah. No, I'm just waiting for Nigel the... There he is. There he is. I knew Nigel the Crab would be in. There's a Muppet in the chat tonight who's been talking about Solanke being... Saka being injured, posing as FPL Harry. But as you guys know that are regulars here, FPL Harry is a moderator on this channel, so he doesn't...
Harry would have a little moderator spanner if it was actual FPL Harry.
But it's not. It's some Muppet that's talking about Saka being injured, which, of course... we have had no news on. All right, Sam, any more on this wildcard draft? Anything else to discuss on either game week 30 or your plans going into game week 34?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, there's still plenty of time, obviously, between 30 and 34. My key strategy here is to know that I'm trebled on or have a route to trebling on Arsenal and Liverpool for 34. That feels important. And then have plans in play for how I make sure I've got everyone else. But I think, you know, I've got my Liverpool assets. I've got my Arsenal assets. I know where I'm going with them. I'm allowing myself the opportunity. Palace defender, potentially. That's the one area.
That's the one, isn't it? Yeah, that's the one. But again, there's a downside to that because the fixtures before 34.
But they would be benched because in reality, Udogie, Gusto, Saliba play every week.
You're going to play them. Yeah, you're going to play them. All right. So let's just quickly, because we did discuss this last Sunday, let's quickly discuss where I am at. So at the moment, I've not ruled out the wild card for this week, but I would say I'm probably 90-10 in terms of not playing it. I think any game week where I'm coming into it and I'm benching Phil Foden and Gabriel Saliba, I'm like, can't be that bad, can it? Do you know what I mean? So at the moment, for the sake of the podcasters, I've got Dubravka in goal, Alex Moreno, Gabriel and Zabani at the back, Richarlison, who I've held through the injury, so I'm pleased that he's back.
He's back, yeah.
Palmer, Saka and Son in midfield, Solanke, Haaland and Watkins up front. My current thought, and I think I said this last week, was to move Moreno to Gusto, which actually saves me a million FPL pounds. And feels like a massive upgrade, right? Yeah, it feels like a massive upgrade, and Moreno to Gusto. So I will almost certainly be doing that transfer.
But then what about Salah?
Well, if I do that transfer, I've got enough in the bank plus that million Son to Salah.
How do you feel about selling Son?
No, not good at all. But here's my dilemma is that...
Is it exact money?
0.1 at the moment. Because Salah went up from 13 to 13.1.
He's going to go up again as well.
He's going to go up again, probably. I can afford one more rise.
And then you're done.
Out of Salah. And then I'm at exact money.
Okay.
So I don't like it. Because even if I let it ride this week and I just do Moreno to Gusto and I play Son.
He's going
to
go up.
I'm not averse to playing Son at home to Luton. Of course, I think he could score just as well as Salah. I would then probably have to do, depending on how they get on and everything else, right? But I would, given that then Mo plays Sheffield United, he's going to be popular again.
He will, yeah.
In the lead up to game week 31.
And the people that haven't wildcarded in 31. That haven't wildcarded in 30.
So I'd have to make that transfer probably quite early in the game week.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, I could do that. And
when
then,
do Liverpool play? Are you Saturday or are you Sunday?
I'm not sure. But I don't mind playing. I'm kind of, for the next few weeks, I'm kind of okay with early transfers. Because I know if something then catastrophic happens, well, you just wildcard, right? And I'm not averse to it this week and I'm not averse to it next week. So if I go early on Mo for 31 and do Son to Salah for 31, which I don't mind because you've got West Ham away, which is usually a cracking tie. Anything can happen there.
Yeah.
For sure Son can score against West Ham. Then you've got Forrest at home. So again, he's a good pick. I've got Richarlison sitting there as sort of, hate this word, cover, which I hate. But he's kind of there. And I have ridden out the Richarlison injury mainly because I think he comes back in and plays centre.
Richarlison.
I want your thoughts on that and what the Spurs setup is going to look like because all of a sudden Spurs have got
the wealth of opportunity
now. I know.
You've
got your options. So I've just got a choice to make here. And I'm kind of interested as to whether A, Richarlison comes back in, and if he does, where? And if he does, who misses out? Because
I know.
Your Kulus, your Brennans have all played pretty well. He's not dropping Madders or Son, obviously.
Captain and vice captain, they're not getting dropped.
Who is going to be the Spurs front three? With, I assume, Madders in the 10. Because he has played Kulu in the 10 before, but he's going to play Madders.
Well, Madders, yeah. So I think you're right. And so this is another reason why I haven't exactly locked myself in with my wild card. I've gone for Son. And I will go for Son. I'll have Son for the next few weeks. But if by game week 34 in the blank, if in 33 we see Richarlison back up top, which by the way is what I'm expecting.
You think he'll come back and play nine?
Yeah. Okay. Then what I'll do is
straight in, you think? Off the bench maybe? Or
I think... So it'd be interesting to see, won't it? Because I think he'll come straight back in.
I'm really 50-50 on this because Luton are physical.
Yeah.
We know that about them. They're a physical team. So does Richarlison come straight back in because he's a physical player and you need him?
Yeah.
Or does Ange go, I don't want to chuck him straight back in because they're physical and he's only just coming back from injury?
Let's just remember that Spurs don't bring people back into full training until they are absolutely ready to play.
This is true.
He does not have them back in to do sort of bits and bobs.
And he looked pretty good when he came on, didn't he, against whoever it was in 2019.
And we've had an international break where he's obviously had a couple of weeks worth of more training and stuff. So
is he away with Brazil? Didn't see him in the squad.
I don't think
England.
I
might be wrong about that.
I don't think he's gone actually this time. I think because he was injured, I don't think he got. I can't remember, to be honest, what he's doing. I think I've seen him at training. But anyway, the point stands is that he's had additional time. He's played a game. Not all of it, but he came on and then has had two additional weeks worth of training time. I think Richarlison comes back in and plays in the number nine. I think we go back.
I think we go back
to Maddison in the 10, Son, Richarlison, Kulusevski. I think that's his preferred.
You think Brennan misses out?
Which, yeah, because I think the thing with Brennan is he has been outstanding for us in recent weeks.
He has been good.
He's been really, really good. And what I love about him is he is great off the bench, but also he'll put pressure on the others. So if we get bad performances from Kulu, then he'll start him instead of him. Like, I like the fact that we've got Brennan. This is the first time I can ever remember Spurs having this kind of problem. I don't remember us ever having a problem with who we play up top. It's always been like, back in the day, it was like, oh, Berbatov and Defoe or Crouchy and Defoe. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was always just, you had your two forwards and that's what we did. Now, and then obviously in recent times, it's been Kane. Now, there's a wealth of opportunity there and I'm really here for it. I think Richarlison becomes a really nice pick, which is why I think you've done the right thing by holding him. And I think if by game week 33, we are seeing Richarlison play in the number nine, then what I might do ahead of the blank is sell Son and instead bring back Richarlison. Because at that stage, I could hold Gordon instead and just bench him, do Eze for Son, and then move Eze to Richarlison or somebody different afterwards, depending upon what position Spurs are playing at that point.
Because I think Richarlison, and again, another reason I held him through the injury, because all the reports were it's kind of a couple of weeks, I thought, well, one of those weeks I'm free hitting, then it's an international break.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be back for 30. And I really hope he is because no one's going to get him.
No.
Right? Everyone's wildcarding this week. No one's getting Richarlison. No. It's all about Son or we're getting Haaland and Salah and we all want all these big hitters. So we've got to go for like a Garnacho or a Gordon. We can't afford Richarlison, right? And then, of course, because of the blank in 34, no one's going to have him. So there was a few weeks earlier on in the season. I was one of the OGs on Richarlison.
Because you couldn't go for Son, right? You couldn't afford him.
Yeah, I made a decision to go for him over Son. Mm. And it was huge. It was massive. And then a couple of weeks into it, Son got injured. Everyone piled into Richarlison. But then he ended up getting 8-8. And my rank, that's the reason I'm at 40K rather than 100K
really helped
right
you,
now.
Didn't he?
Because Richarlison was a legend for me earlier on in the season. I don't like him as a player. But in FPL for me, he's been brilliant this year. So fair play. And I think these next three or four games, Luton at home in 30 and Forest at home in 32 in particular, they look juicy as hell to me and no one's going to get him.
No, I agree with you. I think that Richarlison is a really nice pick. And I think if you're wildcarding a little bit later, like I also think that by the time we get to those games against Chelsea and Liverpool and Arsenal and Manchester City, having that physical presence in the box is going to be really important for Spurs. And that's something that Son won't give you.
Yeah.
Son doesn't give you a physical presence. He gives you all the speed down the wings. He does all the right things in terms of those areas, moving players around. But he's not a physical presence in the box. And against big clubs and in big matches, that's what you want. You want a physical presence in the box.
Yeah, I'm happy to have him. But the Son to Salah transfer, I do not like it. I do not like it. I am asking for trouble there, no doubt about it. I'm hoping that Richarlison comes back, Son goes out left and he becomes sort of semi-ineffective again. That's not to say that Son is an ineffective pick because he's not. He's wherever he plays on the pitch, he's a great FPL asset.
The other thing is
it's just better in the nine.
But it is a risk for you, isn't it, this? Because
Oh, massive.
Because what we could see in, like, Gusto probably go up. I haven't looked at the plans, but the reality is that yesterday's announcement about fixtures, when people actually start looking at their team, which will probably be today, maybe tomorrow, people will come back and they'll start looking at their teams again during the international break, and they'll look at it and go, oh, double game weeks, right, wild card.
Yeah.
And at that point, we'll start to see the markets go a bit bonkers. And this is why I think for some managers, you need to carefully consider what you're doing, because depending upon how tight your squad value is, depending upon the players that you want and how many of them you already own at this point, because what you can look at is, what does my team look like now? What do I want it to look like in 34? Can I get there with transfers? And would I have enough budget to ride out two or three price rises on Salah? Would I have a couple of price rises in players like Gusto, who are going to be popular eventually? Could I ride out price rises on, I don't know, maybe a Arsenal midfielders, because they're going to be popular.
I haven't got the breathing space. If it looks over the next few days, pre-game week 30 deadline, that Gusto's going to go up or Moreno's going to go down, the effect for me is that I can't get Salah.
Yeah.
For 30, at least. Even in 31, then, I'm priced out of it. I'm having to do other stuff.
You'd have to take hits.
I have to do other stuff, then I'm taking hits. But this is the thing. If I go Moreno to Gusto, I then quite like, because I want Gusto anyway, right, for the next few weeks. And then I will probably bench him and Palmer.
Yeah.
My plan is probably to bench those guys in 34 alongside probably Richarlison.
Okay.
So then my bench would be Richarlison, blank, and then Palmer and Gusto, who could play. Like, listen, I mean, it's not like they're blanking, right? Arsenal away. So it's not like they're blanking.
Yeah.
In fact, reasonable chance I play Palmer, to be honest with you, even at Arsenal away.
Just having a look at FPL statistics to see where we are with these price changes at the moment.
Yeah, this is I'm quite torn on it. It would be for a hit as well. So Moreno to Gusto, Son to Salah for
Son for a hit.
Yeah, selling Son for a hit.
Oh my.
Yeah, don't like it. It's somebody in the chat saying that Gusto is 98.8 to increase. He better not be.
That's what I'm just looking at.
Because if he is, I've got to make that transfer possibly tonight for a hit. Because I think Salah is going to be, like, I remember.
Is he?
Yeah. It's going to force my hand, isn't it? It's going to force my hand. It could be that I do the Moreno to Gusto transfer tonight. I've got to do that. That's just an easy upgrade as far as I'm concerned.
I'm just looking.
And then I delay the Son to Salah for a hit, depending on how I feel later in the week. That's probably what I'll end up doing.
There's a lot that potentially could drop tonight as well, like some of the bigger names.
Any ones that I'd be interested in?
Saliba.
Oh, Saliba.
Kyle Walker. Okay. Edison, Trent. They all look like 99. Gakpo.
Yeah.
Saka, weirdly.
That's because that dude was in here earlier saying that Saka's injured. The real FPL Harry's here, by the way, now.
Thank God for that.
The real Harry.
Solanke's actually nearing a price drop.
Is he? Well, there we go. So, listen, there's loads going on. Loads
Harry,
going on.
Thank goodness you're here. We've had people impersonating you and all sorts
tonight. It's been
tonight.
All sorts tonight. All sorts. Anything else you want to discuss, Sam? Otherwise, I think that is enough chat, isn't it, for what's going to happen in the lead up to game week 30 and beyond. We will be, I think, clearer at some stage about what's going to happen between 35 and 38. As we always say, go follow Ben and James at Planet FPL and Lego Mane. All these guys are brilliant at this stuff.
These are May fixtures. So I wouldn't have expected to get them until we get the May. It's normally like
37.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be expecting to get them until we get like the TV announcements for May.
No.
Like normally they tie in the double game weeks in and around those fixture picks, don't they?
Yeah, correct. And again, my strategy, given that I'm...
Look at Son. Look at him. He's looking at you there as if to say...
That's him waving goodbye to my team.
How could you? How could you do this to me?
Do you know what I hate about it is that there's going to be a lot of people captaining Son this
week.
He's a great captaincy shout this week. And I'm going
to
sell...
I'm going to be there at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday. Would you like me to send you a video of him?
Don't. I mean, my ideal scenario is that Son goes left, gets nothing out of the game, Richarlison bangs a couple, and then I'm laughing. But it's just a risk, isn't it? It's just a risk. When Son is such a good captaincy option.
I don't see a moment where Son blanks against Luton.
No. Just while we're here, let's do that. Just the last thing before we go.
What are we doing?
Your wildcard team for 30. Here it is. Captaincy for this week. Captaincy
Salah.
For game week 30.
I'm captain in Salah.
So normally
my rule, as you know, is that when I go to a game, I captain the player that I'm going to watch.
Yeah. So why not Son?
Because I've not watched Spurs win yet.
What, this season?
No.
Have you not... Have you not?
No.
Oh, wow. Been to a few games as well.
I have been four times. Yeah. And every time I've watched us lose.
Oh, nice.
So okay. I Good. Can't quite... It started off with that blimmin' Chelsea game, didn't it? That Chelsea game ruined my life.
That season ruined
remember me
against
sitting
Chelsea.
There? Oh my God, that was the worst night of my life.
Harry, I'll remember that one.
No, I'm sure it was the best night of his life. It was the worst night of mine. I sat sit there in the stands and watched that. And it was horrid. So yeah, I just decided, you know what I really want to do? I want to go to a game where Spurs are playing and enjoy it for just the game of football and not be stressed about FPL.
Yeah.
And Salah, I think, is the best captaincy option this week.
He's definitely going to be up there, isn't he? He's definitely going
to
be up there.
I also think Cole Palmer's a great shout, by the way.
Don't overlook him. Yeah, don't overlook him. Let's go back to the... I keep wrapping up and then going back to the fixtures. The fixtures for this week. Cole Palmer, Burnley at home. Yep. Such a great shout, isn't it? He's a really good captain.
What a great differential captain he'd be.
I am so looking forward to this City-Arsenal game as well. I have to say, as a Liverpool fan...
What do you think is going
to
happen in that game?
I think City are going to beat them.
I do too.
I think City are going to beat them.
It's going to be... I still think that in the net... By the time we get through game week 34, it's a two-horse race between Liverpool and Arsenal and Man City. I think Arsenal are third.
Between who? Liverpool and Man City?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Arsenal are made... They're made of sterner stuff, you know. They're made of sterner stuff. This is a different Arsenal. They are quality.
They are. I'm not saying they're not quality. I just think that if Arsenal don't win that game against Man City, it becomes very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be tough for them. It will be tough. Tell everyone what is coming up this week, Sam, just while I find the slide. Here we go. Coming up this week.
So obviously we're still in international break at the moment, but is it going to be a busy week for us, as is always the case? So I'll be back with the FPL pod with Jules and Kelly on Thursday. We'll be previewing game week 30, talking about wildcards and where Jules and I are sort of landing with our teams. We'll be back with an Ohana podcast for our patrons on Thursday. They got an extra bonus one today. We put another one out for them today. Didn't ask us anything based on their questions. And then we'll be on Sky Sports News together on Saturday morning. So I really do have to lock in.
So you're going to be fiddling with your wildcard with 2 minutes to go to deadline as we come off of Sky?
I'm not. We're going to... So obviously it's also Easter weekend, isn't it? So I'm going to lock in my team on Good Friday. We're going to... have a nice day out with the kids. We're going to come home. I'm going to lock my team in. We'll get some dinner. We'll have a nice date night. And then that's it. And I'm not going to touch it again on the Saturday morning, because every time I've touched my team on deadline this season, like that free hit, it has not gone well. So I'm going to learn my lesson.
Good
Friday is going to be a good day for FPL. I'm going to lock in my team. And then we will be back on Easter Sunday, I presume, to talk through game week.
Easter Sunday, yeah. It depends what we're doing, I suppose.
I guess so.
Any family stuff going on.
Just in case we aren't back next Sunday, we will also be doing the fantasy show together on Easter Monday.
Are we?
Yes.
Oh,
so we've got,
nice.
So we've
okay,
got
good.
The pod on Thursday.
I don't know about this stuff.
We've got the pod on Thursday. I've got the pod on Thursday. We've got Sky Sports News on Saturday. And then on Easter Monday, we'll be down... doing the fantasy show together.
Awesome. All right. There will be some stuff around FPL Challenge, I guess, as well next week. We're not allowed to say much about that, but look out for that next week. There's a whole new kind of FPL.
I've been teasing it this week. It's been fun.
FPL game coming next week, which I think you guys are going to love. So we're not allowed to say too much about that, but keep your eyes on FPL Family Twitter and YouTube and everywhere for some content around that next week as well. So that's it, guys. Good luck in game week 30, whether you're wildcarding or not. Good luck. We will see you, or we'll see our patrons on the Ohana podcast later in the week, as you rightly say. Sky on Saturday morning. Then we've got the fallout on Easter Monday on the fantasy show. So loads going on.
God, my wildcard really needs to go well.
It is going to be a good few weeks. And for those of you that follow me on Twitter, I will let you know whether I do a very good captaincy option this week out for a hit.
I think you're going to wild card, so you keep them both.
It's not out of the question. It's not out of the question. Cheers, guys. Good night. See you soon.
Bye, everyone. Sports Social Podcast Network.